Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 12. And in just a moment, we will look at verse 33 and then all the way through verse 37. I asked some of our folks this morning, I can't remember which service it was in, but have you ever heard somebody say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? I know that many of you have heard that. I want you to know there has never been a less true statement than that. Words can hurt us. The words that you speak, if they are sinful and selfish, they can hurt you and they can hurt other people. Why are words so important? Because Jesus says, your words indicate what is in your heart. Sometimes I'll have people say, "You don't know what's in my heart." Well, all I have to do is listen to you talk just a little bit, and that will reveal what's in your heart. Jesus said that the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. Jesus also said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says the way you spend your money shows what is in your heart. So those are two scriptural indicators from Jesus Christ himself that tell somebody what's in your heart. That's why words can be so damaging. They can be so hurtful, is because they reveal the heart of somebody. When you speak, that's exactly what is happening. Warren Wiersbe said, "It is by our conversation," now listen, "at unguarded moments that we reveal our true character." Anybody can do what I'm doing right now. Anybody can speak guarded language. Anybody can be very careful what they say and not say anything hurtful. But it's what you do when your guard is down. It's what you say when you're relaxed. It's what you say when you're just kind of being yourself. That shows what is in your heart. When someone is angry and they let restraint go, their words are like stones hurled and rocks thrown. And those words, just like rocks, damage other people, sometimes permanently. How many children have been damaged by the words of an irate, angry, mean-spirited parent? Now, I'm not saying that if you ever get upset with your children that you're going to damage them forever, but I will say this to you, you have to be careful as a parent what you say to your children. How many wives have been damaged by an angry, irate husband who, out of rage, said something caustic and demeaning, and the wife couldn't help but hear what he said and received damage? Or maybe a husband who's trying to do the best he can, and his wife speaks words of discouragement, demeaning words. I tell you, ladies, it's all due respect, your husband will never be greater than the words that you speak to him. It's so important that we speak the right kind of words. And how many athletes have been damaged by the words of some immoral coach? How many students have been damaged by the words of some atheistic teacher? How many teenagers have been damaged by words on social media that were printed by some type of bully? I could go on and on, but I want to tell you, words can hurt. Words can even kill. On Sunday nights, we're looking at the questions of Jesus found in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus constantly asked questions, not in any way to gain information. He was God in the flesh. He knew exactly what was going on, but rather he asked questions to make people engage, to make people think, and to use it as a teaching tool, a didactic form of teaching as he asked questions. The question we're looking at tonight, spoken by Jesus, was also spoken by John the Baptist. He said this, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good?" Jesus said, you speak what comes out of your heart. Your hearts are evil. So if you're evil, how can you speak what is good? It's a way of saying you can't. Now, if you know the context of this, they have just blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They have just said to Jesus and about Jesus that your power doesn't really come from the Holy Spirit. Your power, Jesus, comes from the devil himself. And when they did that, they committed what some theologians refer to as the unpardonable sin. God immediately, they crossed a line with God. And God said, that sin will never be forgiven. Jesus said it himself in the text. And so right after they speak those harmful, deadly words, Jesus just goes off in verse 33 through 38 about the fact that your words contain either death or life. Life and death are in your words. Look at Matthew 12, beginning at verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word, basically every word you speak that really doesn't have a good purpose, that really is just a word that should have been left unsaid. Every careless, idle, literally workless, I'll talk about that more later, word that you speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. Now listen to verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Death and life are in your words. First of all, your words confirm a revelation. They confirm a revelation. Look at verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Here Jesus demanded that people decide one way or another about him. You cannot be neutral about Jesus. Either you acknowledge him and accept him as the Messiah and the Savior, or you reject him. Either you're going to be born again, or you're going to turn away from Jesus Christ. You've got to go right or left, but you cannot be neutral about Jesus. To say that you're neutral is to vote against the Lord. Either bear good fruit, which is indicative of genuine salvation, or bear bad fruit, which is indicative of spiritual lostness. Then Jesus stated what should have been obvious. For the tree is known by its fruit. People in the first century knew a fig tree when they saw a fig tree. You know why? There were figs on it. And they knew a citrus tree when they saw a citrus tree because there was citrus fruit on it. When you go to Israel, I've been 12 times, you'll see citrus, you'll see oranges, you'll see lemons, you'll see figs, you'll see all kinds of trees, apples. How do you know they're out? How do you know? You don't look at the fruit. Jesus said, that's the way it is with us. That's the way it is with you and me. When you speak, that's the fruit that comes out. You don't have to tell us whether or not you love the Lord. When you speak, your words say everything there is that needs to be known. If you speak lies, if you speak cursing, constantly. If you speak demeaning language, it's indicative of what's in your heart. But if you speak about Christ, if you speak about God, if you speak about faith, if you speak about love, if you speak about joy and all the fruit of the Spirit, these are indicative of the fact that you're a genuine Christian. Their words, he said, have been indicative of the fact that they've either been saved or they've been lost. And then he goes on with the words of John the Baptist, verse 34, you brood of vipers. Now that's a way of saying you barrel of snakes. People say, oh, little Jesus, meek and mild Jesus. I don't see a meek and mild Jesus there, do you? You know, if I just looked at you right now, I'd say, y'all are a bunch of snakes. You say, Brother Steve, you might not be here. Well, I might not, but you know what? Jesus looked right into the eyes of these people who had just called him a partner of the devil. He said, you know what you are? You're a bunch of snakes. You're just as low as snakes. You're a brood of vipers. You're as sly and as cunning. I'm not the one who's in privy with the devil. You are. You're like a serpent. You're like the devil himself. That's exactly what Jesus turned it right back on them. Jesus said, I'm not going to own this thing that what I do is by the power of the devil. What I do is by the power of the Holy Spirit. What you are saying is of the devil. Don't tell me that Jesus didn't stand up. Don't tell me that Jesus was soft, meek, and mild. Oh, no. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. I have people sometimes say, well, I don't like the God that you're portraying. It's not a matter about the God that I'm portraying. It's about the matter of the God that's in the Bible. That's the real thing. Amen. All right. Okay. Bye, sweetie. All right. Good. All right. All right. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth. If sin is in your heart, sin will come out of your mouth. If Jesus is in your heart, Jesus will come out of your mouth. Look at verse 35. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Your words confirm a revelation. They confirm the revelation of whether or not your heart is good or evil, whether or not, put it another way, you are saved or lost. Saved people talk like saved people. Lost people talk like lost people. When I got turned on to the Lord 41 years ago, I was in college, and I can remember I was getting my ankles taped. We were having spring football at UT Martin, and I've always had a little bit of a problem with my ankles, and I was getting my ankles taped, and it just dawned on me. I'd been living for the Lord just a matter of weeks, and I looked at the trainer, and I said, I haven't said a bad word all day long. It just dawned on me. That just came out. I said, I hadn't said any word I shouldn't say. I'm not just talking about little light words. I had a foul mouth before I really knew the Lord. You said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about cussing. That's what I'm talking about, all right? And I said, I ain't said a cuss word all day long. Blew my mind. I heard one old boy say when he got saved, he lost a third of his vocabulary. Well, I don't know what the percentage was, but I lost a lot of mine, Andy, I'll tell you. I looked at that, I said, I haven't said anything like that all day long. And he looked at me just like, okay. But it was a revelation to me. I realized what is in your heart comes out of your mouth. You know what was coming out of my mouth? Jesus. Jesus, the Spirit of God was in my heart, and I didn't want to curse, I wanted to bless. That's the way it is. Let us hear you talk when your guard is down, when nobody's listening, and we'll know, sir, what's in your heart. We'll know, ma'am, what's in your heart. Not your guarded conversation, but that conversation when nobody else really knows you're talking. That's when you really reveal what's in your heart. The Bible says in Isaiah 32, verse 6, for a fool speaks nonsense. Why? His heart inclines toward wickedness. Paul warned the Corinthian Christians. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I'm afraid that when I come to you, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, disorderly behavior. Notice all those words, and how many of them deal with your speech? Sinful words reveal a sinful heart. The Greek philosopher Pythagoras said, "Choose rather to throw a random stone than to speak a random word." It's exactly what Jesus is talking about. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:4, there must be no filthiness, no silly talk, no coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That is a word for people that are on social media. No silly talk, no coarse jesting, no sarcasm, no belittling, no speaking words of filthiness, which are not fitting. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his own tongue. What does a bridle do? It makes the horse do what the owner says, not what the horse wants to do. If you don't bridle your own tongue, if you don't control your tongue, isn't it something? God put two barriers up there, your lips and your teeth, and that thing still gets loose. Amen? God said, if you don't bridle your own tongue, you deceive your own heart, and your religion is worthless. Death and life are in your words. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Your words reveal what's in your heart. Your words confirm a revelation. Very quickly, your words come back in a revisitation. How many of you ever had a boomerang when you were growing up? Anybody? Nobody? Three or four of you? All right, there's a guy back there. Did you like your boomerang? Did it ever really come back to you? Okay. I'd throw the thing and it'd just go off somewhere. I don't know what I was doing. It was obvious I didn't know what I was doing. But you know, your words are like a real boomerang. Look at me. They will come back to you. They'll come back to you in life. Especially if you're married. Your wife will remind you what you said. Can I have an amen from all the men in the house of God? Amen. I can't tell you, Brother Mark, how many times Donald will say, "We're going to so-and-so tomorrow night." I said, "Do what?" "We talked about it." Can I get a witness out there? Amen. "We talked about that." I'm going to say, "I don't know when in the world we did." That's because I wasn't checked in. But you know those words, you know, you got to be careful. I'm sure I said, "Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine." You know, your words come back in revisitation. Now, I want to tell you something. Your sinful words will come back in revisitation also. When you sow the seed of a sinful word, you will reap a harvest. Let me tell you something about a harvest. You don't reap it right then, you reap it later. And you don't reap it in the same level. You reap more than you sowed. You reap after you sow, and you reap what you sow. When you sow words that are sinful, it's going to come back to you in a revisitation. Look at verse 36. "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment." Careless words. Words that are idle. Words that do not work or produce. Words that don't produce anything constructively. Don't speak idle words that don't build up, don't edify, don't construct. If you have to say something that is demeaning, just be quiet. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. Jesus stressed that when people stand before God at the judgment seat, they're going to give an account for every idle, unproductive, unnecessary word that they've spoken in the day of judgment. The word judgment is the word krisis. It's where we get our word crisis. It's talking about a moment when you stand and there's a separation, there's a verdict against the guilty party. And in this case, it's you, because you've caused the crisis. You've caused judgment to come up on yourself. How? With your words. With your words. Idle words, useless words, careless words, unproductive words, sinful words. Leave them alone. They're better left unsaid. This is one of the most sobering things Jesus ever said. Every idle word that I have spoken, and I've spoken them, they're going to revisit me one day when I stand eyeball to eyeball with Jesus Christ. You say, well, nobody heard me. I got news for you. Somebody heard you. Somebody wrote it down. Somebody recorded it. God wrote it down. Every word you've ever spoken. Every word you've ever spoken when you said, nobody knows. Remember that old song Charlie Rich wrote? No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Sorry, Charlie. God knows. And God's writing it down, folks. God keeps the books. Steve doesn't keep the books. Bellevue doesn't keep the books. God keeps the books. And God has written down your words. Every idle word you speak, Jesus said, is going to be coming back to you one of these days. Some people say, well, I just don't know about this judgment thing. Well, it's all over the Bible. Romans 14:10 says, but you, why do you judge your brother? You again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Why? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, especially to Christians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? So that each one may be recompensed, may give an account for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Every word I speak is going to be there waiting on me when I see Jesus. Now, the only hope I've got to cover the words that I've spoken is one word that Jesus spoke on the cross. The word tetelestai. It is finished, paid in full. That's the only jewelry I've got besides a watch that's wearing me out because it vibrates every time somebody calls me. I mean, this thing is wearing me out. I was preaching the other day somewhere, and my phone, I keep my clock on my phone and my little iPad and my watch. They all started going off at the same time. But the Bible says that God, through Christ, spoke a word to tell us, it is finished, paid in full. The only jewelry I have besides that watch and my wedding ring is this little rubber band, and it has on it the word to tell us. That's it. That's all I got. You know why? I look at that every day, Brother Drew, and I realize Jesus pronounced my forgiveness when he paid for all of my sins and said, paid in full, Father. Steve's sins are all paid in full. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I would have to recount and give an account for every idle word I've ever spoken. And that's the way you are if you don't know Jesus Christ. You can give an account. Everything you've ever said that's negative, everything you've said that is lustful, everything you've ever said that was in anger, everything you've ever said that was contrary to the Word of God. You've got to give an account. You've got to come in judgment. It's a crisis. It's exactly what he's saying. Death and life are in your words. Can I go ahead and say it? Eternal death and life are in your words. They're going to come back at a visitation. Number three, your words can lead to redemption. Here's some good news. Can lead to redemption. Look at verse 37. For by your words you will be justified. Diakonos, diakonao. To justify, to acquit, to be vindicated, to treat as just. Now, what's he talking about there? He's saying that there are some words that you must speak to God if you want to be acquitted. There are some words you must speak to God if you want to be forgiven. What are those words? God, I repent. I turn from my sins. God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that he rose from the dead to give me eternal life. God, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I call upon the name of the Lord. God, I speak these words. You say, what if somebody can't speak? You know what? People that can't speak with their voice can speak with their mind, and God will hear everything that they say. But you've got to, your words, by your words you can be justified. Our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. But when we are justified, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When Jesus died on the cross, all of our sin was laid upon Jesus. He paid the penalty for the whole thing. And so, I go to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I turn from my sin. I ask You to forgive me. I believe that You died on the cross for me. I believe You rose from the dead to give me eternal life. And I receive You now. Come into my life. I call upon Your name. Save me, Lord Jesus. That moment, all of my sins are washed away. All of my sins are forgiven. And then I start living for Christ, knowing that I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So when I stand before the throne, those words that I prayed that were indicative, what? Words are indicative of what's in your heart. They show that I repented. They show that I believed. They show that I received the Lord, because those words came out of a heart that was repentant and in faith trusted Christ. The moment I do that, because of my change of heart wrought by the Holy Spirit, I am justified. And you know what? You can understand what it means this way. It's just as if I'd never sinned. When I stand before God, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, not because of me, but because of Jesus. And my words then, those words that I cried out, oh God, save me, Lord. The moment I did that, God in heaven looked down with mercy, bless His holy name, and save my soul. What does the Bible say? Romans 10:13. Whosoever will call. That's a word, is it not? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your words can lead to redemption. One more thing. Your words can also lead to retribution. By your words, you shall be condemned. You shall be pronounced guilty. When you stand before Jesus at the judgment, did you notice I didn't say if? I said when. Now, you know, it's been a long time since I played football, but I can remember what really tells you if you're a good football player. It's not the scrimmage 11 on 11. That doesn't show you how good you are. You know why? You can mess up in a full scrimmage, and your buddy can pick up your slack. So that's not really when you find out what kind of football player you are. You find out what kind of football player you are on the one-on-one drill. I was a defensive end. I had to go against offensive tackles. And so I had to line up with those big old boys and go at it. A lot of times, I don't even know if they do it now. It's probably now, you know, everything's been changed so much it would be illegal to do this now. But they just had an old board right there, and you had to stay on that board, and you had to fight it out and knock the other guy off the board, and whoever knocked the guy off the board won. That's when you find out what kind, when you're one-on-one. And I want to tell you something. I'll tell you how you'll know whether or not you're right with God. When one-on-one with Jesus, you look Him right in the eye, and because He has saved you, everything's right, or because He hasn't saved you, everything's wrong. That's when you're going to find out. It's going to be one-on-one with you and Jesus. One-on-one. One-on-one. Standing before God. He says, by your words, you'll be condemned. You say, what do you mean? If you don't know the Lord, those words somehow are going to come back to you. I don't know if God is going to replay them. I don't know how it works. But I can only imagine you saying, I want to go to heaven. I deserve to go to heaven. And then your words, your own words, will be played out. I don't want to go to church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. What's nothing wrong with what I'm doing? I'm not hurting anybody else. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't understand it. I don't want to give to the church. All they talk about is money. I don't want to go to church. That's my only day I can sleep and rest. I'm sorry other people are suffering. but I've got to take care of myself and my family. I don't believe what the Bible says about homosexuality. I don't believe what the Bible says about when life begins at conception. I don't care what the Bible says about marriage. I don't care what the Bible says about there only being one race, the human race. I don't care what the Bible says. How can anybody really know that there's a God anyway? And on and on and on. Your words, dear sir. Your words, ma'am. That's what's going to condemn you. Your words are going to come back to you. And by those words, you'll be condemned. Death and life really are in your words. Be careful what you say, because what you say will all come back on Judgment Day. Your words confirm a revelation. What kind of tree you are, all I got to do is look at your fruit. Your words come back in revisitation. Every careless word you speak, you'll give an account for it the day of judgment. Your words can lead to redemption. By your words, you can be justified, or they can lead to retribution. By your words, you'll be condemned. Listen to these words out of Proverbs 18, verse 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it, those who like to talk, it says, are going to eat its fruit. Now there's another verse that I want you to see. I pray it almost every day. Would you pray it with me, please? Let's all pray this verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And friend, there's some words that are acceptable tonight. If you've never spoken them, they can be indicative of what's in your heart. If God has spoken to you tonight, you don't know the Lord, would you repent of your sins? Would you trust in Christ? Would you receive Him? If so, speak those words to Him and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me. You say, I just came to hear my kid play up here in the spa. Maybe the Lord had more in mind than you did. Maybe the Lord wanted you to hear the fact that you need to be saved, that you're going to stand before God in judgment. I didn't pick this sermon out for this group. God did. I'm just preaching through these questions of Jesus. This was the next one in line. I had no idea what I was going to be preaching until I opened it up, and there it was. I'm not talking about tonight. I've studied for it, all right? I'm talking about this week. I didn't know what it was going to be. I looked in it Monday. I said, oh, that's what it's about. And I want you to know, I believe God is a God of perfect timing. I believe some of you need to speak words and invite Christ to come in your heart. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. I want to ask you, with everybody being just as still as they can be, if tonight you would like your words to lead to redemption, by your words you'll be justified. You can be justified right now. You can pray and receive Christ if you'd like to do that. Could I just lead you in a prayer of commitment to the Lord? And would you, in faith and in repentance, turn to the Lord and receive Him as Savior? Say something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. By the help of the Holy Spirit, I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins. I believe that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead to give me eternal life. I repent I turn to you. I believe Jesus died and rose for me. And right now, I receive you into my life. Save me right now, Lord Jesus. I call upon your name. And when I stand before you, let these words be replayed. Not all of my idle, sinful words, but these words begging for your redemption, crying out to you. Let these words be played out on that day. And may I hear that word from the cross, tetelestai, paid in full. And may I hear these blessed words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. O God, forgive me for the sin in my heart. Change me. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.